B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. We'll connect with Brian Westbrook momentarily. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block. Your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. They also bring us Brian from 4 to 5 every Friday. So, I said it during my commercial. I don't know if people were listening. I got a funny feeling the Phillies win tonight. There's no reason why they should win. The Phillies are 0-8 with Pivetta on the mound versus the Nats. And yet, the line is a rather slender. Let's see. Plus 132 the Phillies are tonight. It's not an overwhelming thrashing line.
It's on the road, though.
I get it.
Fireworks night. That's why the game starts earlier.
Well, that's right. We're only on at 5:30 today.
On TV.
On TV.
Oh, we are?
Because they do the pregame show, and then the game starts at 6 because of the fireworks.
Oh.
I have a sneaky suspicion that the Phillies win this game tonight.
Really?
No rhyme or reason.
Knapp's in the lineup. No real Muto. Strasburg's on the mound against Pivetta. There's no reason why, even though the game's home, that line should be that short.
Harper comes out hot.
I'm taking the Phillies tonight. I'll put a couple dollars on the Phillies. Let's go Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
You know, Mike, the more you say it, the more I'm inclined to maybe take that bet up.
Plus 132. Slender.
I'm not sold on that line either. You know, that seems a little bit suckerish to me. Like, you know,
over under is 9. So they're not believing that much in Strasburg tonight. Either that or they think Pivetta is going to get hammered. One or the other.
Let's talk Sixers.
Right.
The reason why I called. You know, hearing Tobias, you know, the statements by Tobias today, and then and it's doubling down on what he said pretty much.
Uh-huh.
You know, why do I feel like I'm being further sold on this team could do this, Ben could do that. You know, I'm over it. I mean, the more and more I hear it, the more and more I want to puke, Mike.
Well,
because I feel like I'm being sold something that may not.
Well, you're only sold if you buy into it. You don't have to buy into it. Well, you can just say it's, you know, it's blather, and until I see it on the floor, like I do. I thought it was really nice what Tobias had to say. I know it would encourage people. It doesn't encourage me. I'm dug in on this Ben thing. I'm dug in. I can't. Artificial stimulus does not affect me anymore when it comes to this guy.
Mike, I had to go do a little research. I went digging. There was a game that, you know, we had against the Lakers in Philly where LeBron literally disrespected Ben so bad. He actually said this was probably his first actual attempt at three. I saw it on YouTube. You know, at what point does the league look at him and say, okay, if you're not going to shoot, we're going to balance that player between this guy and Ben, and we're going to do that. Like, you know, I feel he got disrespected, but is that going to be what motivates him to finally
I have no idea what's going to motivate him. Well, I mean, he should have been motivated a long time ago. I don't know at this point what's going to motivate him. Really, I have no clue. When it comes to Ben Simmons, I have no idea what I'm going to see.
All right. And the last thing I'll say is,
yes.
Do you think this team actually took a step back or a step forward in a sense that you may have gotten better defensively, but offensively you're lacking so much that you're putting more trust in guys like Josh Richardson and Al Horford to...
No, I think they're much better. They have many more options to score. They don't have the go-to, I need a bucket guy. But, you know, they're well-rounded. They're really good defensively. To me, they're the best team in the East. I don't worry about that. And see, I don't need Ben to shoot jump shots for me to say they're going to be the best team in the East. I still think if he comes back, plays the same game he played last year, they're still going to win the East. Now, it would make it a little easier on all of us if he did those things. But I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But the one thing I don't put any stock in is what he's doing now. And you do.
Well, I think off-season work, I don't Well, so to you, when do players get better if they don't get better in the offseason?
He's a different kind of guy as far as getting better. What he has to get better at is against real competition, pulling the trigger on a jump shot. You can't emulate that in anything you do non-NBA season. Like, you can get quicker. You can do sprinter drills and get quicker. You can do jumping drills and jump higher. You can smooth your stroke out and get better. But what you can't do is have your brain function like you're going to take the shot, because the stimulus isn't the same. There's an NBA stimulus and there is a practice court stimulus. They're two different things.
But what if it's not a mental block and it was, I'm not good enough to shoot, so I'm not going to shoot? What if that was the whole thing and now he thinks, well, I am good enough to shoot? What if it wasn't this mental case that you think it was?
I don't buy it. I don't. Your theory is he's going to smooth up his strokes so much that that's going to give him the confidence to be able to shoot it in a game, right?
I don't necessarily think it was necessarily this. He needs a sports psychologist. I think it's possible that he's a type guy that's not going to do something until he thinks it's good enough, and I think he's putting in the work this summer so that in his mind, it is good enough.
I hope you're right about that. That's a great theory.
And I think he acknowledged that by hiring somebody. And that guy also does, similar to what Embiid, full court runs with NBA players.
Okay.
Which you have to do in the offseason.
Keep me posted. Keep me posted on that.
July is too early for those runs. Runs happen later, in the summer.
First time I'll see it is in preseason.
Yep. Right. So if you see it in preseason, you got it.
If I see it preseason, I'll start to come along. Right now, before we get to preseason, I got nothing for you. All right, let's go Tim in Lancaster. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Hey, Mike. I love your show and I love your crew. I want to talk about the Flyers.
Go ahead.
I've been watching them since we won the Stanley Cup. We've had two pure shooters, Kerr, Lindros. We've had one good goalie since then, Bernie, and of course, Pelle Lindbergh. Otherwise, Hart is a regular goalie. He's going to be a good goalie, but he's not going to be a superstar, because you knew watching Pelle Lindbergh that he was going to be a great goalie. And he, of course, died in a tragic car accident. And the Flyers went from my number one sport to the fourth sport. I like the Eagles, the Sixers, the Phillies, and the Flyers now. Flyers are all smoke and mirrors. We're trading defensemen and players for the same players that we got. Our best defenseman, it was Mark Howe. There's nobody even equivalent to that on our team now.
Well, you're right, but let's get to your views on the goalie. You don't see enough of him to think he's going to be a great goalie?
I think he's going to be a very good goalie, but not a great goalie. You could see in Pelle Lindbergh, when you watched him, he was going to be a superstar goalie. Okay, you could, you know Perron. I mean, you can tell when you watch. Well, I watch every hockey game. I just didn't watch the Flyers. I watch hockey when it was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They've made me so disappointed since Lindros that I don't even turn them in half.
So you're really down, and nothing they're doing in the offseason is bringing you back a little?
No. I mean, who did they trade for? If you got rid of Gudas and you got another guy, that's the same. I mean, you did not better the team. And where's the shooter on our team? Voracek can't shoot. He gets hot for 10 games, okay, and then he's cool for 20. Then he gets hot. And then Drew, he doesn't want to shoot. He wants to make the remarkable pass, okay, which is great. Yeah. And then once in a while, he goes across the middle.
Well, Konechny can shoot a little bit.
Well, yeah. Okay, so, but is he a star?
He's young. I hear your frustration. But it's surprising to me that you would say that Carter Hart's only going to be a good goalie. I don't know if we have enough information to know whether he's going to be a good goalie or a great goalie. He seems to have all the attributes of somebody who could be a great goalie. Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mikey Miss, how are you?
What's up, Dave?
On Fridays when Brian joins the A team, it becomes the A-plus team.
Yes, we're having trouble hooking up with Brian, but he'll be with us momentarily.
Oh, he's not on?
He's not on yet.
Oh, man. Oh, Before I talk Eagles, congratulations to the A-team again. They are number one in the overall ratings, which also encompasses Nielsen streaming audience. No surprise there. And a quick shout out to our morning show, which is quickly closing the gap in on those old decrepit has-beens down at the other end of the dial.
All right, Dave. Come on, let's move all of your point. It's not right, getting to a, you know, tinkling match here.
All right, for the last couple years and a half, mm-hmm. I've been saying the Eagles are taking the shape of the Patriots mm-hmm. in their glory years. The NFC is taking the shape of the AFC in that same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
We all know who the quarterbacks are, whose best days are behind them. That includes Russell Wilson. And as far as Trubisky, Prescott, and Cousins, overrated. Plus, the Eagles have retooled beautifully after losing 25-plus players from the Super Bowl team. So what we are looking at, plain and simple, Carson is Tom Brady, Goff is Peyton Manning, and Mikey. There's no reason we can't get three Lombardi trophies in the next 4 years. You guys have a good weekend.
Oh, wow. Three out of four.
It'd be nice.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think they're going to get three out of five. Three out of five, like every other year for a while. But they'll be in the mix, so it's hard to win back-to-back anymore. It's really, really hard.
See, I can't mentally go there yet.
I was in dynasty mode last year.
I know you were.
So I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. I'm in dynasty mode.
All right. Well, dynasties are just so, I don't even think about them anymore, dynasties. Yeah, you win one, that's good. And it takes a couple of years to come back, that's fine. That's the way the world works normally.
Now I got to have a dynasty. Gotta have it. The Eagles, gotta have the dynasty.
All right, let's go to Dave. He's calling from the New Jersey Turnpike. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Ben Simmons' jump shot here. Now, how many has he even taken in his career, would you say? About 20?
I don't know. I don't know the exact number.
Okay.
That he
well,
has taken.
What I was thinking is, obviously, he needs to. When he's going to do him, he has to hit him early in games, and he has to make them. That would give him a lot of confidence. Because you know, somebody as good as him, if he's not making them, it's going to be very easy to revert back to, you know, the Ben Simmons we know now.
Right.
So I was trying to put some numbers on it, and I was thinking, you know, what Tobias said about the 3-point shooting, which I think is great, because you know he just wanted to get Ben more confidence that his teammates saying that about him. You know, if he took 150 3-pointers this year, or 150 jump shots this year from outside 10 feet, you know, what would a good percentage be? 42%, 40%?
That would be excellent. 40% would be excellent if he did that.
From outside 10 feet. And then from outside the arc, maybe say he shoots 80 3-pointers. You know, like one a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe hits, you know, 20, 25.
Mm-hmm.
So something like 25 to 30%. Like, would that be a great, you know, number?
It would be. It would be. I would take that in a heartbeat.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's the willingness to take it that, to me, defines what Ben Simmons' greatness is going to be, because then it opens up so many other avenues for him.
It opens up the whole floor and everything else he can do. Yes. Exactly. But if he doesn't...
If a guy comes out, like, he's coming ahead of steam. A guy comes out to meet him at the foul line because he thinks he's going to take the jump shot. Ben Simmons gets to the basket in a split second.
Yeah, one little pump.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that dynamic.
Exactly. Where he's not one match. As much as he is now.
Exactly. All right. You got it,
right,
buddy.
Thank you,
Dave. The three-point shot, I don't even care that much about the three-point shot. Now, he's going to get opportunities to shoot the three next year. So, you know, I'd like to see him launch a few, but that's not primarily what I want to see him do.
Yeah, you talked about the walling it off. Brian's having some technical issues mm-hmm. from people wondering. That's okay. What it is. We're working those out.
Okay.
The wall that you've mentioned, where they wall him off from mm-hmm. getting to the basket.
Yes.
If he could take a shot from one step beyond that wall, which mm-hmm. is usually around the foul line, they would then have to step up. The further he makes them step out, the easier his drives become and the more spacing everybody else gets.
Exactly.
So if he could just take that around the foul line extension jump shot once in a while, that makes him unguardable because that wall now doesn't work. Plus, Embiid doesn't have to be at the top of the key as often because Ben is an actual threat somewhere else.
Yes.
They had Ben in that dunker spot right on the on the post throughout that whole Raptors series. That's part part of the reason Embiid wasn't effective. Not the whole reason. Some of it was on Embiid, but it's part of why the default can't be just throw it to Embiid, because then where the hell does Ben stand?
Exactly.
It would change the whole dynamic of the floor if he would do it.
That said, their success is not based on that. It would make it easier for all of us to watch the season, but they're still going to be the best team in the East, whether he takes a shot or not.
All right, we have the stats now.
All right.
Now, not counting
on how many he took?
Yes.
All right.
Not counting end-of-quarter heaves. Those don't count.
Mm-hmm.
This is courtesy of Booney. He has taken 69 shots 15 feet or further. He's 19 of 69.
69 shots in his career?
In his career.
Okay. He's 19 of 69.
So that's 27.5% on those shots. But only 69.
That's a lot more than I thought he took.
That's one every other game. That's what the equivalent is.
I can't remember the 69, to be honest with you. I can remember being like about 5 to 10.
I remember a couple this past season. They don't jump out. But
really?
They don't.
You thought it was 69?
I didn't think it was 69. I thought it was closer to 40.
Wow.
Maybe once every 5 games, something like that. But yeah, 69 total. He's made 19.
Wish somebody should make a collage. There you go, Booney. On your off hours, make the collage of the Ben Simmons jump shot. You can actually sell that. You can sell it as a half hour show on NBC Sports Philly.
There you go.
Commercial. Wow. You want to do a video of him missing a bunch of shots?
After this commercial, we'll be back with his other 39. Right? Come on, that'd be fascinating. Who remembers that he took 69 jump shots?
Well, he's played, I don't know if that's regular season, he's only missed maybe 3 games, so that's 160 games he's played.
I'd sit down and watch that with a bag of popcorn.
It would count. Any kind of floater or anything counts as long as he releases it from further than 15 feet out.
I'd like to see him.
I don't think you'd like to see him.
I'd like to see him. I really would.
But he only makes 19 of them.
I don't care. I don't remember him taking 69.
So that means that there may be some hope.
Maybe.
And that 69 he's taken so far in 2 years, that number needs to be... Let's make that 70. He needs to take 140 this season.
Yeah, like on nights when they rerun the Mike Mussinelli show. Like last night, we were rerun. You chop off the last half hour of our show. Stay tuned for the Ben Simmons 69.
Well, here's the tough part.
What?
Mike.
What?
He shot 45 of them his rookie year.
I'm not serious about that. That would be fascinating television to me.
It wouldn't be 30 minutes. It's like 5 minutes.
The Ben Simmons 69.
Yeah, it's only 5 minutes. But here's the issue. He was 16 of 45 as a rookie. 3 of 24 last season.
All right. Well.
So that's part of the problem right there is he took less his second year.
Stay tuned for Ben Shoots.
That is the commercial break. It's only 5 minutes. You know how quick it is to show 69 shots? It's 5 minutes, not 30 minutes.
We're doing one of the breaks of our show. We wedge that in. Booney? Ben Shoots.
Up. Well, we got some news.
What?
What?
Max Scherzer, he's out Sunday with a bad back. Phillies opens the door.
See that? I'm going to that game.
Well,
see, I want to see Scherzer pitch.
He's out. Booney, this is hot off the presses. Back tightness. Out. He's been lights out.
Well, that gives the Phillies a chance to win 2 of 3.
Yep.
And win tonight behind Nicky Piv.
Yeah, see, I don't know how you can believe in that. Like, you talk about me believing in Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is number one pick. You believe in Nicholas?
Strasburg can go bad at the drop of a pin.
No, you're right about that.
He can go, like, 95 pitches through 5 innings, and they got to jerk him.
No,
like,
you're right about that.
That's what that line is about.
Oh, that's from NBC Sports Washington, so maybe something's lurking. And that would really help the Phillies pass the Nats to get that first wild card to have a bit of a... You know, a cushion right now in that second spot. You get to that first wild card, you It's better.
Yeah, I think Scherzer's going to miss one start.
And think he'll be right back.
Yeah, he'll be right back. You guys missed Sunday. Come on, man. I wanted to see him pitch. I actually was looking forward to seeing him pitch because I love great pitching performances.
I got you.
Yeah, even though it would have been hard for the Phillies to win that game. Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Scherzer is a beast.
Yeah, I like to watch him pitch. I like to watch great pitchers pitch.
Yep, I remember with the Tigers, they said, oh, there he goes to another team, just like every other Tiger. But listen, Ben, I think he's going to turn some kind of page. I'm kind of with you, Mike. I don't need to see the three. You know, you talked about the three the other day, and I don't need to see him. I just want to see him shoot just beyond that foul line, just stop and pop, jump shot is all I want. And then he'll be fine. He'll be making some progress. But I just had a quick Eagles point.
Mm-hmm.
I heard on the previous telecast a day or two ago that ESPN, one of their writers, had the projected 2019 best offensive NFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the Rams, the Chiefs, the Browns, and the Eagles.
Yes, I heard that.
Well, how can you have the Browns ahead of the Eagles?
Well, the Browns have weapons.
Yeah, but I don't think they're too proven, and I really
not
think
too proven?
The Eagles
are...
No, they're not.
The Browns?
Yes.
All right.
You
know, adding Beckham to that offense is a pretty big boost.
Do you think we have a better quarterback than them?
Yeah, but that kid's going to sling it all around the field.
I'd
rather have Carson Wentz, but that kid is no joke.
I know, and I just thought we should have been ahead of them.
Well, I think, you know, there's this Browns love going on right now, which may have influenced that.
Yep, they're
the next team that everybody thinks is going to win the Super Bowl because of the way they've been building. But yep. They have some pretty good weapons.
And they're going to be fun to watch. But,
yes.
Mike, I think the Phillies might turn it around a little bit starting right now with the bats.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm worried about Jake. I think Jake might be done, Mike.
You think Jake will be what?
He might be rolling right off the table like a baseball, Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to end too well here.
Pivette is pitching tonight.
I know, but I just, with Jake, I don't see a lot of good going forward.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's why they need to make a bigger splash than we would think.
Mike, you and the crew have a good week.
All right, bro, you got it. Man, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham is no joke. They got Njoku as the tight end, Chubb, and who are their running backs?
Well, the Dukes Johnson. He wants out, but he's still there. He's a good player. They got that tight end, like you mentioned, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thinking around the league that the NFC is better than the AFC. So built into that, they'll have a weaker schedule just because the conference as a whole is weaker than what the Eagles would face facing the NFC.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and hopefully, Brian Westbrook, when we return, it's the Mike Mussinelli Show right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:31. Doesn't look like we're going to have Brian today. We got some technical difficulties on his ISDN line. And hopefully he'll be able to join the show before his allotted time. But we don't know if that's going to happen. So it'll be all your phone calls, just 610-620-975. It's got the weirdest question during the break from Natalie.
It's not that weird.
It's not that weird? She asked me this question. She said, Mike, have you ever tap danced?
Just wondering.
Where would that question even pop into your head?
I was thinking about tap dancing. I was thinking about people, I don't know. My mind, I have like 65,000 tabs open at all time. Don't I, Ty?
I get it.
Yeah.
Now, what would make you think that I would be the type that would tap dance? Do I look like the type that would be a tap dancer?
Well, no, I asked Ty, too.
Well, Ty, have you tap danced?
No.
No.
All right.
No, so I've been listening to A Star Is Born, because I watched the movie.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking about Judy Garland in the original and how back then the men used to tap dance. That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know.
I admire tap dance. Gregory Hines.
Yes.
And the guy was the one on Sesame Street. What's that kid's name?
Savion.
Snap, tap, clap, we used to call him my daughter.
Yes.
What was his name?
Savion.
Savion. Yeah. But my daughter was a great tap dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like a four-way tap, jazz, hip-hop, ballet.
Yeah.
And like for her whole life, and then wound up teaching, you know, the younger kids. So I go to a lot of recitals that she was involved in.
Right. No, yeah. I just, you know, you never know if at one point a guy has tapped.
No, I've never tapped.
Well,
I'm not.
What was odd too, Mike?
What?
She goes, "Have you tap danced?" You say no. Then her response is, "Have you ever had on tap shoes? Why would you have on tap shoes except to tap dance?
You never. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you just have ever attempted to tap dance, but you just didn't do it.
Like, are you trying to get a couple of little soft shoes and then you couldn't
cut? Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I never had the desire to tap dance.
Either. Really?
Even watching tap dancing, I've never had the desire.
I tapped when I was little, but stopped. And you wish that I wouldn't have.
You were a little dancer?
Yeah.
Too? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was.
Too militant to tap dance.
I don't know. Yeah.
I am. Too militant. Now you got to have some things. You want me to dance?
Stomping around.
Want me to tap dance for you, sir? Huh, boss?
That's what you want me to do? Tyrone, the angry tapper.
I'm not tap dance. There's a few things I'm not doing in public. Tap dance.
Come on, guys. We can get a routine going.
I would stop eating fried chicken in public. I wouldn't do it. Give anybody the satisfaction.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I did.
I tell you what, you're dug in sometimes. And then you're so wishful and whimsical. You're a very unique character. Darnell in Mount Carmel. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Darnell. What's up, Darnell? Yo! Woohoo! Darnell! All right, you're out. Terry, Cherry Hill. Terry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Terry.
Yo, Mike.
What's up, Terry?
Talking about Ben Simmons' shot.
Let's talk about the Ben Simmons shot, but take me off speaker first. Can you do that?
Yeah, sure.
Let's get a little clearer connect.
Chicken Whole Foods.
Okay.
Yeah, so, take a look. It's called NBASavant.com. You can see Ben Simmons' shot chart all sprayed out. He shoots 70% from the rim he took four jump shots from three in 2017-2018, and he was 0 for 4. They were all heaves at end of quarters.
Oh, all right. So I can see all his shots there. Yeah, I like that, like a little collage making a TV show. I think it's a good idea for NBC Sports Philly, I think. Like, I'm making it a show. I think it'd be really interesting. What else, Tara?
That's it, Mike.
All right. Let's say we can see it online, all his shots.
But he got it wrong.
I wanted the music, though. I want it produced.
Right, but I don't think it's going to be entertaining
great
to watch.
Great producers down at NBC Sports Philly and put something together really nice.
What kind of music do you want?
You just want him to...
They would know.
It can't be good music because it's a guy missing a bunch of shots. Like, this is like almost like you're shaming the guy. You're putting together like that's the opposite of a highlight, a low light. Ben Simmons low light package.
No, I'm actually doing it because I'm astonished that he took that many shots. I want to see them because then I can look at the shot
now
and see why he wouldn't be going in.
Well, the other part is he mentioned the end of quarter heaves don't count, but the end of shot clock heaves do. So if the ball was in his hand with 2 seconds left and he shot it, that happened. I remember those. Mm-hmm. Those count in the number, and that happened. Once a game, almost, where it's just in his hand because he's ball dominant, and now he has to just throw it up. Those all count in the number.
Yeah,
how many intentional? Well,
that's why I want to see the collage because I want to see the actual shots because I don't remember. Let's go to Ryan on his cell. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Nat, great, love the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
Did Tyrone say Ben Simmons should only take 140 shots this year? That's like, that's not even, it's like one shot per half. Like, he can't take 10 shots against...
No, I would like it a little more. I would like a little more. I would like to see him take at least 5 jumpers a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He should be taking like 500 shots.
Yeah. All right, 4 jumpers and a 3 ball. How's that? That's not much. I'm not asking for much.
No, I'm not either. But like 140 shots, like, that's way too much.
No, it's got to be 5 a game, including 1-3.
At least. And against a bad team, maybe 10 a game.
Yeah. So, in other words, he's got to shoot.
Win him by 30 points.
For an entire season, we're talking about 300.
300? That's it?
Yeah. Eighty times
that's
5.
That's like 3 shots a game. Like, if he plays 80.
Five. We'll say that's 400 if he takes 5.
That would be a little better.
Okay. 5 shots a game. I'm good with that.
All right. Well, you think he's going to do it or no?
No. No, but let's hear from Tobias Harris again. Can we hear from Tobias again? Because, you know, because Tobias thinks it's going to happen. Mike Misnelli doesn't think it's going to happen. But Tobias is all gacked about it.
But he's in the gym religiously every day.
There it is.
Grinding and getting better. He's in great shape. Everybody was trying to figure out why I was guarding him at the 3-point line. But it was really because he hit 2 of them. I dared him to shoot 2 of them, he hit 2 in a row. So that's why I was there. But he was, he's made big improvements on his game. His jump shot looking really good. He has confidence to shoot it. And I just kept telling him there, like, you know, even in these workouts where you're playing, have the confidence to shoot them and don't get discouraged if you miss. This is where you build that type of confidence. So it was a good sight to see how hard he's been working. And he looks really good for a great year. And
all right, well, there you go. The jump shot's looking really good, and he has the confidence to shoot him.
That's encouraging.
Tremendously encouraging.
Huge.
Now.
To you.
No, it's encouraging to people.
To people.
Everyone but you.
Yeah.
Right. I would not be in that circle of people that we're talking about.
I also know for a fact that there are some people at NBC Sports Philadelphia behind the scenes that shall remain nameless who don't believe he'll ever shoot.
Okay.
Well, so it's not encouraging for them either.
So we're kind of on the same page.
One might be working on the program right now. I won't say any names, though. No names.
Well, listen, that is very possible that he will come back this year as the same exact player and not take the shot.
He's saying never. You think he will eventually. No,
eventually, but not this year.
Right.
Not ready yet.
Never. Never.
They're saying never?
Yes.
Well, listen, the longer you leave a wart, the more it's going to turn into a callus. There comes a point in time where you can't remove the wart anymore. Yeah. I don't even know if that's true, but it sounded like it would.
Probably true. How long are you going to leave it there? I mean, sooner or later, you just leave it. You can't take it off.
Have you ever had a wart?
Yes.
Really?
Once.
Yeah? Did you get it frozen off?
I think one of those, like, over-the-counter, like...
Oh, you went Compound W?
Yeah, I think that worked.
Really?
Like, you put the thing on it and then put something on top, and it went away.
Yeah, I just had a doctor shoot it with a little freeze thing, and then it just flaked off.
Yeah, I had one.
I had a wart net?
I had one on my foot when I was in swim team.
Oh, wow.
Ugh. And I had to go to the doctors, and they, like, dug it out.
They dug it out. I had one on my knee dug out before the freeze thing was invented.
Oh, it was awful. That's the only one I ever had.
The seeds of it out.
Yeah.
They have to go deep.
I don't even want to think about it.
All right. Talk about everything here. Warts. Mike Misnelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah. It is 4:48 on the Mike Mizell Show on a Friday. This is like a small world thing that just happened. I got a text earlier today from my sister.
Yeah.
3:19 p.m. And she's a pharmaceutical rep. So she deals a lot of doctors in South Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So she sends me a text. It says, one of my docs is in that club that Embraced the Blues. He said you should come by sometime. They are just having fun. You have uncovered a news story.
Yeah, so somebody, a source sent this to me. Says Jack's New Year's Brigade thinks mm-hmm. that they own the phrase Play Gloria. This is the headline on, it's an SB Nation article. And it says they've sent a cease and desist order to the Blues.
They own the phrase Play Gloria.
What? So I guess they think that they are going to get like licensing fees off of it. So their argument is that because that phrase was first used in the bar, then they have a right to use that and an exclusive right to use that phrase. But
I was willing to let that whole thing go. Come on.
And now they're bringing it back up.
Seriously.
So
dudes.
Counselor.
Come on, fellas.
Counselor.
Well, so the lawyer says the problem that is by waiting to assert their alleged rights to the trade name and copyright, then at that point they're allowing their interest to be what's called diluted. So if
the idea of it is ridiculous, frankly.
That they would try and season.
People taking themselves a little too seriously here with this.
That's what happened. And you, Mike, to your credit, you were consistent about this while it was happening.
Yeah.
That it started as a little cute thing and it got out of hand. And now it shows it's continued to get out of hand. Those guys got invited to the parade. They put GoFundMes and stuff to get to the parade.
Uh-huh.
They're all there fraudulently at that St. Louis parade and now this. And you know what's going to happen.
So
that was last year's phrase.
Yeah.
You know what they'll do when they try to repeat? They'll just pick a new song from a new bar in a new city. They'll latch on to some Cleveland fans or something.
Knock themselves out.
But yeah, well, so they said that because people started printing shirts and trying to sell the shirts.
Play Gloria.
Yeah.
And they own the rights,
mm-hmm.
so they want the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good luck, fellas. Don in Mount Carmel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Don. Yo, Don. Come on with these empty telephone calls here. Let's go, AJ in West Philly. What's up, AJ?
What up, Big Mike?
What's going on, AJ?
Yo, I've been arguing with a lot of cats about the Sixers, man. And, you know, I'm a great debater. You know, Mike, I'm very long-winded. And these guys don't stand a chance when they try to bring up any Eastern Conference team, Mike.
Yeah.
But they go head-to-head.
Yeah.
They don't stand a chance.
Well, who's been going at you?
You know, just my friends, guys at the bar, and especially when I watch the national pundits that didn't pick the Sixers, they can't even come up with a good reason why another Eastern Conference team can beat us. First of all, I love Tobias and Ben pushing each other because they should work on each other's weaknesses as far as Tobias' defense and Ben's shooting. And then Horford and Embiid should push each other to work on their weaknesses, like Embiid's conditioning and, you know, just or for all overall skill.
Where are these workouts taking place that Tobias is working out with Ben? Where is this? L.A.?
Yeah. He went to the ESPYs and then went right to the gym. That's where the shooting coach is out there. Everybody's out there right now. All the mm-hmm. NBA okay. players that are working, they're all in L.A.
All right, I saw a photo of LeBron and crew with Ben, which creeped a lot of people out here. You know, LeBron crew with Rich Paul.
I think that one was at the ESPYs backstage.
That was the ESPYs?
Something like that, right. Yeah.
But look, I want y'all to pull up because the main two teams in the East is the Boston Celtics and the Bucks. You know what's crazy about Milwaukee? When you look at their roster, I'm having a hard time coming up with a fifth starter because they don't have Meritage or Brogdon.
Yeah, so, no, you're right. I thought they look a little thin to me, too, without Brogdon.
Now, look, Boston Celtics, they don't have a bench at all.
Yeah,
That's the sad part about it. And most people, what they say is they're going to put their point guard on Josh Richardson. That's called barbecue chicken. I think Josh Richardson should work on his post-up game, and we have an offense just like the Indiana Pacers with Mark Jackson and Rick Smith, where our point guard, take him in a post, had a bench out. But no roster can stack up. And the last thing I want to say for the video game has Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and Horford, their ratings all went up to an 88. And Bees is a 94, and Richardson is an 81. So, no, we got the top five out of the top 100 players is on our team. No other roster says can do that. Mm-hmm. The Lakers is the next closest one. They can't stack up. We should all be like James Ennis and say we're going cakewalk it to the championship.
AJ. I'm looking at Milwaukee's starting lineup. And here it's Bledsoe, Wesley Matthews, Giannis, Middleton.
And Lopez.
And Lopez. And they have both Lopez's, right?
Yeah, he'll back up. Yeah, which is good. That's a good backup, but they're thin on the wing.
And George Hill's off the bench.
Yep.
Dante DiVincenzo and Pat Connaughton.
I like DiVincenzo.
Ilyasova's still on the roster?
Yes, but they think not for long because they're over the luxury tax and they're looking for a home for Ilyasova to save on that tax line.
They're not very deep.
No, but they're relying on what the Sixers need. DiVincenzo, they need to take a step. And I honestly, you know I like him, and even though I'm a Sixers fan, I think he'll end up taking Wes Matthews' spot.
As a starter?
Eventually. Not to start the season, but I think he'll play his way into that, being the main two. And I think he'll help them because he's bouncy.
Is Pau Gasol on that roster?
He was, but I think he's gone. He didn't play for him. He was just on the roster.
What a thief he's turned into in the last 5 years.
Keep getting
my God, you talking about a guy cashing a check for no reason.
He didn't even play.
5 o'clock hours ahead. Mike Misnelli shows on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.